Could stream temperature monitoring give insight into important fish populations? And a Haines resident is honored as an emerging leader by the Tlingit and Haida Council. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. A committee's request to apply for bicycle-friendly community status is on Tuesday's Haines Assembly agenda. The idea started with the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. It involves submitting an application to the League of American Bicyclists, which may award a bike-friendly designation and offer suggestions for improvement. Juneau, Sitka, and Anchorage participate in the program. The idea has caused significant debate at Parks and Rec meetings. Several residents spoke against it, saying it could cost the borough money, or that it might be helpful for bicyclists but detrimental for drivers. The assembly will decide whether to endorse applying for bike-friendly status. Volunteers have offered to fill out the application, so it does not take borough staff time. The second hearing of the borough FY18 budget is also slated for Tuesday. At the last meeting, Assemblyman Tom Morfitt made a successful motion to add $17,000 to the pool budget for a Sunday afternoon swim from October to April.
I think it's not unreasonable to give people something that lifts them up, and I believe those swims would lift up people in this community in the wintertime and give them something to do that would make them feel good about themselves.
The $17,000 would come out of an area-wide general fund savings. The assembly learned at a recent committee meeting that borough employee insurance premiums are rising, which creates a more than $7,000 expense that was not included in the manager's budget. The assembly will need to decide how to absorb that extra cost. The budget could be adopted at Tuesday's meeting, or the assembly could delay it a couple more weeks by scheduling a third public hearing. On the consent agenda are contracts with the Haines Skagway Fast Ferry, Alaska Fjord Lines, and Alaska Excursions to use a float at the Port Chilkoot dock. The meeting is Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. Last month, a 27-year-old Haines resident was recognized for his leadership by the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes. James Hart received the Emerging Leader Award at the annual Tribal Assembly. Hart is a Tlingit and Haida Council delegate and a Tribal Council member at the Haines-based Chilkoot Indian Association. KHNS's Emily Files talked to Hart and has this report.
My Tlingit name is Gooch Ish. I am a raven frog from the Sun House in Wrangell.
Hart's involvement in tribal government began about 5 years ago, after he attended the National Congress of American Indians. He says he talked to people from around the country about issues that resonate locally.
I'd say the biggest issue for everybody is sovereignty and figuring out how to use our sovereignty. Sometimes I don't feel like we are on the same playing field. We have to fight a little bit more to find the needs and wants that we're looking for.
But Hart says local tribes are becoming stronger, partly because of the cultural resurgence taking place among a younger generation. Hart says that started happening in Haines when he and other young people began apprenticing with master carver Wayne Price.
He had a dugout that was roughed out and wasn't finished. And that became the project that really started a movement.
They carved a 28-foot red cedar dugout canoe. The momentum spread to Hoonah, where Price and his apprentices made two 40-foot canoes. Hart says the massive project took about 10 months.
It was a life-changing event. The whole community seemed to change with us as the dugouts progressed from start to finish. When we first got there, there was a lot of people that had pride in their culture, but by the time we left, it seemed like the community was on fire. It was, the culture is just really alive.
Hart is going to continue teaching traditional skills at three culture camps this summer in Haines, Hoonah, and Yakutat. The camps will focus on Tlingit language, subsistence skills, and traditional art.
Growing up, my grandma never spoke to us. She went through lots of trauma and didn't want her children to speak the language. So it's this next generation that's starting to pick up pick up where we left off.
Hart has been involved not just with tribal government. He got an inside look at state government during this year's legislative session as a public policy fellow for Sitka Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins. One thing he learned, if you want the ear of a legislator, make friends with their staff. Going forward, Hart says there's another area where he wants to get involved.
One of the things I want to do is be on the borough assembly. Sounds crazy, but that's something that I've targeted for a while, and I've got roots here that go back longer than I could count. The feelings I have for this valley are deep and they are real. There isn't anything I could describe to you the feelings I feel about this place.
Hart's not sure whether he'll put his name in the running for assembly this year or in the future, but he says it's one more way he hopes to shape his community for the better. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
The Chilkat River and its nearby waters are a major source of food for subsistence fishermen in Haines and Clukwan. That's one reason decreased salmon runs are alarming in the Chilkat and other rivers in southeast. Tribal leaders around the region are trying to get a handle on one factor that may contribute to declining returns. The Chilkat River runs past the village of Clukwan, about 20 miles up the Haines Highway.
Finding our salmon, fishing for salmon, hunting, it's a way of life, and that may disappear if the salmon disappear.
Kimberly Strong is the Chilkat Indian Village Tribal Council President. The village hosted a stream temperature monitoring training in partnership with the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition and Cook Inlet Keeper. The training was part of a larger project funded by the Environmental Protection Agency. For the Chilkat Indian Village, understanding what's going on with salmon is a major reason to do this work. Strong says the village has seen dwindling returns of several types of salmon. That includes alarmingly low Chinook runs in recent years.
If something happens to the salmon and they don't return, the ecosystem is thrown.
Around 20 people, including tribal representatives from Hoona, Sitka, Skagway, and Wrangell, came to Clukwan to learn and share information about monitoring local waters. Jessica Kaiser-Forrester is an environmental consultant based in Haines. She helped facilitate the training that also included conversations about climate change and how to adapt to related environmental changes.
Tribes around the country, well, really around the world, are taking the lead in monitoring and planning for adaptation because of these impacts of climate change.
So why monitor temperature? Here's Forrester.
The most concern is, as you see throughout the Pacific Northwest, is that streams are warming. They're getting hotter. And so when temps get hotter, we see a lot of disease. It affects reproduction. It gets too hot that it becomes lethal.
Sue Mauger led much of the training. She's the science director at Cook Inlet Keeper, a nonprofit organization based in Homer. She's helped set up temperature monitoring programs in other parts of the state. Mauger explained how to choose sites to deploy data loggers and how to collect the information they record using a computer program.
The more information we have and the more places that we have information, the more we're going to understand what it might mean for different salmon populations.
There are already monitoring networks in Cook Inlet, Bristol Bay, and Kodiak. The Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition wants to get something similar set up in this region. Mauger says it's challenging to collect data in Alaska, given the amount of time, money, and resources that go into traveling to different areas. These networks help with that. And the tools they use make the science more available.
It's a really accessible equipment, and it's easy to use, and it collects really good, accurate information.
One challenge is money. Mauger says you need 3 to 5 years of data to really understand what's going on in a particular body of water. That means having a consistent funding source. In Clukwan, Forster says they have the equipment, but they're still trying to secure funding to set up the monitoring program. For Strong, understanding what's happening in the river is about a way of life.
I think a lot of people came and want to live in this area because of the abundance of food that you can live off of the land, and And it's really scary that we can get to the point in the near future that another generation or two generations from now won't have the opportunity to live the lifestyle that we enjoy.
Strong says they may not be able to control everything that happens in the environment or management decisions made by state and federal agencies, but she hopes having more information can help better inform that decision making. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening.